Jimmy Black, remember him in your prayers? Went by and seen Brother Jimmy yesterday, and he prayed that the Lord would give him at least two more days. He's at the crossroads. He's at the end of his life, and he needs your prayers, and he's going to be crossing from this world going on to the glory world, so keep him in your prayers. John chapter 16, verse 24, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word this morning. Boy, just different right now. I just pray the Lord just steps in and intervenes. Amen? There's something on us this morning, like something quiet, something a little heavy. I just may be me. It may be heavy on me. Maybe me, but y'all feel it too. Amen. I see some heads. Something just different in here. Amen. Hey, if you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here to worship him, say amen.
Amen.
Man, that's what we're here about. Amen. John chapter number 16, verse number 24. Fixing to enter into the Christmas season. Today's December the 1st. I want to title this message, Ask Your Father. Now, you're going to know about this when I get to preaching this. Anytime my daughter wanted to go do something, Brother Kevin, and my wife wasn't sure about it, she said, go ask your daddy. Go ask your daddy. She called me. I said, what'd your mama say? And she said, she didn't care. She said, come ask you. And I put it back on me and say, ask your daddy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Ask your father. Ask your daddy. Ask your daddy. I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you asked your heavenly father to do something in your life? Ask your father this morning. John chapter 16, verse number 24, the Bible says, hitherto, that means back then or now or any time. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, ask. That's all he's asked you to do. He said, you've not asked nothing in my name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. He says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that's in this place, Lord. I pray for the next few moments that you illuminate my mind and loosen my tongue. I pray this morning that you allow me to preach on the unction of the Holy Ghost, Father. Lord, I ask you to reach down and all the prayer requests has been mentioned. Father, I pray you'd touch him. I pray you'd heal him. Lord God, I pray for Brother Jimmy Black as he's leaving this world into the glory world. Father, Lord, I pray that you just show him that dying grace in a mighty way, Father. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, Father God, for that one that's lost, he or she don't get no comfort, Lord God, but they have to run to this old-timey altar and they have to call on the name of Jesus to get any peace in their life. Lord, I thank you for the baptism a while ago. I thank you for Brother Schuyler. Lord God, we didn't have to go run him down, hunt him down, or call him down, Father. Lord God, he come willing this morning to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray you have your will and way in this service. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for delivering me and setting me free this morning. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I ask you to be seated this morning as we come this morning in John chapter number 16 and verse number 24. Here's what the Bible said. Jesus said in the book of John to ask in his name. He said, if you'll ask in my name, ask in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about asking amiss. I'm not talking about asking for things that would not be of God. Hey, but when you line up with where God would have you to be and you see God and you say, God, I need a touch on my life. I need you to move. I need you to set me free. I need chains broke in my life. In the name of Jesus, they will be broke. And this morning, I want to say to you, when he asked that, he said, ask that your joy may be full. This morning, I want to ask you, when was the last time that you asked your Heavenly Father here lately to do a work in your life? I want to show you in the Bible three different places where people ask where God would do a work in their life. I look around this room this morning and I see people that God's done a work in their life. He sat down from heaven and moved on you. He sat down from heaven and changed your life. He changed the course that you were on. You were headed to hell. I'm talking about going just as fast as you could go. And then God reached down and he changed that course in your life. You called on the name of Jesus, Brother Les, and he led you in a different path, in a different direction, on a different course. I thank God this morning that when we call on the name of Jesus, that things change, don't you? If you'll turn with me this morning, I want to show you that Elijah asked for fire to come down from heaven. If you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 37, I would love to show you this in the Word of God. You say, preacher, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I got going on. You don't know what's going on in my life. I say to you this morning, you're correct this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know the name of Jesus will change whatever's going on in your life. Elijah asked for fire. 1 Kings chapter number 18 In verse number 37, the Bible says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." This is Elijah talking to God. And in 1 Kings 18, in verse number 37, he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that they are a God in heaven, that you are the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again." And friends, you say, what does that mean, preacher? He prayed, "Lord God, I pray that they understand that there's a God in heaven." What I'm talking about this morning is not about Union Chapel, a Baptist church. It's not about this preacher. I pray this morning that God will let fire fall in somebody's life this morning, that they'll know that there is a God in heaven. Can I get an amen? Elijah asked for that fire. You say, why did he do that? There was 450 prophets of Baal, and there was only one man of God. Elijah was there outnumbered. All around him was people that didn't believe in Jehovah, that didn't believe in God, didn't believe in there was a way, the truth, and the life, didn't believe that God could touch Brother Mason. He didn't believe that God could change. And there Elijah was on Mount Carmel all alone, all by himself. And he didn't ask God to deliver him. He didn't ask God to move things out of the way. He just said, "God, I pray that you'll let fire fall down from heaven." All them prophets of Baal, Brother Garrett, you know what they did? Hey, they called on their God. They called night and day. They called on their God and nothing happened. You know why? Because their God ain't real. There's only one God, and that's Jehovah this morning. That's God Almighty. Jehovah set up in the heaven this morning. And as they got called on their God, Elijah said, "Maybe he's asleep. Hey, maybe he's took a vacation. Maybe he's took a break from listening to you." Hey, can I say this God I'm talking about, Jehovah God, he don't take a break. He don't quit listening to his people. When you cry out to him, he's there to answer in your life. I see Elijah called for fire, 450 prophets of Baal and one man of God. I'd say to you, his back was against the wall. He done had his back against the wall, and he needed fire to fall, but he had faith to be put to the test in his life. I wrote this down. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. If your faith in God Almighty cannot be tested, it cannot be trusted. He didn't back down. He stood his ground and asked God to send fire down from heaven. You say, "Preacher, what happened?" Look in verse number 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell." When he asked, God sent. When he begged God, God sent. When he got to where God was, God sent. I say this morning, there's people that need to get where God is and let him send fire in your life. He said, Elijah asked for fire. He said, "Preacher, does he still send fire from heaven?" Yes, sir, he sure does. He sends fire in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, I want you to turn with me, if you will. Not only did Elijah ask for fire, but the disciples asked for a faith to increase. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 5. I want to show you this in the Word of God. Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 5 this morning. He said, "Hitherto you've asked nothing. Ask in my name and you shall receive." He said, "Preacher, do you believe in the name of Jesus? Do you believe it's some miracle name?" I believe it's a miracle working name. I believe it's a name that changes all things. I know it's a name that set me free. I know it's a name that day when I come to that altar and I called on the name of Jesus and I asked him to save my life, he set the captive free. This morning Elijah asked for fire and the disciples asked for more faith. Now this morning I want you to understand this. You may come in here this morning and you're not asking for fire, but you may be asking for more faith. You say, "God, I need help. I need to trust you more. I need more of you in my life." Whatever you're asking God for him to show you this morning, you be plain in what you want. He said, Elijah asked for fire, and the disciples asked for more faith. Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 5, here's what the Bible said. "And the apostles said unto the Lord," they called on the Lord, and here's what they said. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." You say, what does that mean, preacher? When everything's going wrong and you don't know where to turn, you say, "God, I need more faith and what you've called me to do. I want you to sit down in my life and set the captive free." And here's what the Lord said. He didn't say, "Go on and do whatever you want to do." He gave them the answer of what they needed. Friends, can I say to you this morning, you've got enough faith in your life right now to make mountains move in your life in the name of Jesus. You said, "If I had more faith, I could overcome what's going on in my life." I want to say to you this morning, God's gave everybody a measure of faith, and you've got enough faith in your life right now to move mountains. You don't need more faith. If it ain't moved by now, it's because you're not putting your faith in the right person this morning. Amen. He said, "You've got enough faith already." You said, "Preacher, I don't have very much faith." You don't need very much. You don't need very much. He said, "Preacher, I wish I had a faith like yours." You don't want my faith. You don't want my faith. I have a small faith because it don't take much faith for me. I believe it. Amen. When he said they crossed on dry ground, I believe it. When they say Jonah got swallowed by a whale, I believe it. When they said Jesus died on the cross, I believe it. When they said he rose again on the third day, I believe it. And when they said he's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, woo, glory, I believe it. Amen. You said, preacher, that's a weak faith. Call it what it is. It's a faith. Amen. I want you to look at this in the Bible. Said this little boy, before we get there, said this little boy, he's on an airplane. You've heard me tell this before. Said a little boy is on an airplane. You're talking about faith. Said he had on his old headphones where he couldn't hear nothing going on. And they was flying through the air and they hit a bunch of turbulence. And it got real crazy. And the stewardess come on and said, hey, you might want to put on your life vest. You might want to put this on and put that on. Hey, it may get a little rough. And everybody was grabbing them, putting them on. And this woman, he was sitting beside. She was having a panic attack. She was coming unglued, Brother Les. She was coming unglued at the ends. You know what I'm talking about. And as she was coming unglued, she looked over at the little boy. And he just sitting there relaxing. Ain't got a care in the world. And that little woman, she reached over there. And she pulled that off his ear. And she said, did you not hear? We might be going down. Did you not hear? We're hitting turbulence. Did you not hear? Things are getting bad. And he said, ma'am, I'm not worried a bit. My daddy is the pilot. Hey, can I get an amen? I'm not worried about the things of this world because my daddy is the pilot. Amen. Amen. He's not my co-pilot. He don't sit beside me. He takes control of me. Now, I ask you a question this morning. Where's your faith? You said you act like you're excited this morning. I am more than excited this morning. Because I know where my faith is. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in me and what I can do, but it's the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Let me show you this in the book. He said that faith, he said Jesus Christ, they called for fire, but the disciples wanted more faith. Look with me, if you will, at the faith they wanted. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Please give us more faith. And the Lord said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know how big that is? Ain't very much. Ain't. I know I'm in here with a lot of smart people. But it ain't very much. A mustard seed is very small. He said, if you just had that. See, we're looking, the old devil makes you think you got to be this big somebody to get God to move. You know, a big shot don't move God. Big shot don't move God. What moved God? Somebody that's humble. Somebody that realizes they can't do it without him. And God, if you don't move, it ain't going to work. God, if you don't move, my family ain't going to be saved. God, if you don't move, this needle ain't going to come out of my arm. God, if you don't move, that bottle ain't going to come off my lips. God, if you don't move, I'm in trouble, God. You've got to move. That's a small faith, but all the faith is in God. Small faith, big Father. Amen. Let me give you this. He said in Luke 17:5, if you had just this much faith, Jesus gave them the measurement of how much faith they needed. And this morning, he's gave you the same measurement. If you had just a small faith, if you had just a small faith, Jesus gave them a measurement, the faith of a mustard seed. Not only did Jesus give them a measurement, but he gave them motivation. You see, that's what I love about the Lord. He says, if you've got this little bit, I can move something this big. You see what I'm saying? I can move something this big. I bought a gun safe. Just come to my mind. I bought a gun safe a while back. Bought it at a deal, I thought. And that gun safe, it ain't that big. Fish story. Too much turkey and too much ham this week, I can tell you. Bought this safe. About this big. I said, how much that thing weigh? They said 800 pounds. In my mind, in my calculation, if I got me, my brother-in-law Derek, Garrett, and at that time, Bull Hathcock, that's four of us. And if I can pick up 200 pounds, Derek pick up 200 pounds, Garrett pick up 200 pounds, and I pick up 200 pounds, we can tote that gun safe in that building. That's what I thought. It don't work that way. It don't distribute out that way. So what'd you do, preacher? I had to get a little two-wheelie. That $2 weigh about 40 pounds, 30 pounds. 800 pounds safe or more. I don't know how much. Big. And we had to move it. So how'd you move it? With something a whole lot littler than it was. I took that two-wheelie, aired the tires up real tight, stuck that thing up underneath there, and all of us got pushing it back over. We took the weight off of us and put the weight on, if y'all don't get that, y'all in trouble. We took the weight off us and put the weight on something else. This morning, can I say to you, if the sin of this world is weighing you down, take the weight off you and put it on Jesus. Distribute that weight and that burden off on Jesus. He can handle it. He can tote it. He said, listen, Elijah called for fire. He called for fire. The disciples, they wanted more faith. He said, if you had the faith of a side of a mustard seed, He said, I'm going to tell you how the measurement, but I'm going to give you the motivation. You can move mountains. Move mountains. There's mountains in people's lives in this room right now you don't know nothing about. We ain't nothing more than a masquerade party this morning. Everything in the world's going on out there. We live, we about die out there and come in here, paint up, get looking good. Nothing more than a masquerade party, putting on a mask like everything's good and everything's fine. And our world is crumbling all around us. And we come in here and act like everything's good and go back out knowing that it ain't good. He said, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to get to that place that you call on the Father in the name of Jesus. And you say, Lord, I need a fire in my life. Lord, I need that mustard seed of faith that you can move. I want you to know not only did they call and say, I need more faith. Not only Elijah called for fire, but the thief on the cross called for forgiveness. You won't get fire and you won't get that kind of faith you need in your life until you ask God to forgive you. When you ask Him to forgive you, He'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Luke. And Luke chapter number, if you will, verse chapter number 23 this morning. I want to show you this. Elijah called for fire. The disciples asked for more faith, asked for it to increase. But the thief on the cross asked for forgiveness in his life. Luke 23 and verse number 42, let me give you this. And I want to finish up with this point this morning. I want you to ask yourself this morning, where are you at this morning on asking God to move in your life? Elijah asked for fire. The disciples asked for faith. And the thief on the cross just asked for forgiveness. He had nothing to give. I think of that song, Gratitude. I've got nothing to give. He is nailed to the cross. He is nailed there. He's done pinned down. He can't move. His eternity is fixing to be set forever. He didn't ask for more faith. He didn't ask for no fire. He just said, God, forgive me. Man, when God forgives you, you've been set free. Look what he said here. Look at verse, let's go to verse 39. And one of the malefactors, that means one that does it over and over and over again. They've never been set free. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is insanity. He says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save us, save thyself and us. But the other said, oh no. He rebuked him. He rebuked that one. He said, oh no, that ain't the way it is, son. That ain't it. He says, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. For we receive this due reward of our deeds. But this man, he's done nothing amiss. When you get a hold of Jesus on the cross, He'll change your life. He'll change your life forever. He'll do something in you. When you get a hold of that you was the one hanging there beside Christ Jesus. And unless He forgives you, if He don't forgive this man, He don't forgive none of us. If He don't forgive this man that's nailed to the cross right beside Him, He forgives nobody. Anybody that's ever called on Him, He's always forgave them. Oh, glory. Oh. He indeed justly, for He received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he's done nothing. And he said unto Jesus, here's this. Elijah wanted fire. Man, the disciples wanted more faith. And this man, this thief that ain't got nothing to offer, he just wants forgiveness. I'm talking to somebody here this morning, you ain't got nothing to give. And if you did, he wouldn't want it anyway. Because he don't want nothing but you. He don't want nothing but you. And this man is nailed to this cross. And the only thing he asked the Son of God is this. Please forgive me. But you know what in the world we do? If we hurt somebody's feelings, we hardly ever go back and say. Kids ain't taught, Sister Kim, to say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. They're not taught that. They're taught, don't you let nobody talk down to you. You're better than that. Don't you let nobody. That's what kids are taught this day. Back when I was a kid, if you done wrong, you asked somebody to forgive you. And if your daddy found out you didn't, he'd go with you. I'm going to share this on forgiveness. There was one time I was in school. I'm going to share this. You listen to me real good. I was in school with all my buddies, and I thought I was bad. Probably about 10th grade, driving my truck to school. Miss Ward, her husband, or whatever, was the band director, and she was our math teacher. And she had said something, and I just stood up and cussed her. Cussed her, thinking I was bad, thinking I was all, just cussed her, a cuss word, toward her. And she walked out of the room crying, squalling to death, squalling her eyes out. And I thought, I didn't say, I just sat there and grinned. Them boys cutting up said, "You told her, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah. Yeah, I told her." The bell rung, class was over. I walked out of the classroom. She's sitting back there right now with her tongue in the side of her mouth thinking about it. My mama. She's about 4'11", sitting back there in a wheelchair, but she'll still get me today. I walked out of that classroom and I heard my mama downstairs at Soldier High School. I said, "What in the world is she doing up here?" See, all them buddies didn't bother me. That teacher didn't bother me, but somebody that had authority over my life bothered me. I could hear my mama. I was going to go the other way down the stairs. I wasn't going that way. I come down them stairs where she is at. She's standing there talking to Mr. Northam. I walk down them stairs and listen, teacher didn't have to get a hold of me. I had parents that get a hold of you. I walked down there. I'm talking about forgiveness. I walked down there. I walked up where she said, I said, "Mom, what are you doing here?" She grabbed me up like this. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I done heard. They done called me, and I left McCoy Manufacturing coming over here. I'm handling this." She said, "You know better. You've been raised better. You know better, boy." And I was just sitting there, boy. I didn't care who was behind me. She said, "You listen to me. When you get home, you yo daddies. Do you understand me? You, yo, daddies." She went to walk out that door 4:11, and she turned around and she said, "You, yo, daddies." She said, "And by the way, don't even go to football practice. You just come on straight home today." You know, when I got out of school, what I did, I didn't go to football practice. Now, I didn't drive 70 to get home. I drove about 30. Because, man, I'm talking to somebody here this morning. That you got aunts in your own family right now you know you need to go to and ask forgiveness. You've wronged them 20 years ago, and you're going to take it all the way to the grave. You can't do that. The Bible says if you can't do that. If you won't forgive, he won't forgive you. Ask for forgiveness. Ask your father. He'll put that in your life. I got home that day. I sat on the couch. My daddy was working in the woods. Much of a man. He backed that old fuel truck up. Brother Harold, he backed that old fuel truck up. I went out there. I said, "Can I help you fill up your water jug?" I ain't telling him nothing because I don't want to be honest. I filled that water jug up. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, man, it's nothing." I was his best friend. Wanted just to love up on him because I knew what was coming. We got in the house. Worstest thing my mama's ever done to me is she didn't tell my daddy. She said, "Tell your daddy what you done." And she looked me dead in the eye and she said, "You tell him the truth or I'll tell him." What you do then? Come on, big guy, what you do then? What you do when you stand before the Father? I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Hey, listen to me. God has poured out on me this week. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You know you need to ask the Father for forgiveness. I said, today I was at school and I was trying to impress my friends and I cussed the teacher. He said, "Well, how'd that go?" I said, "Well, it didn't go good. Mama come to school." He said, "Yeah." He said, "What do you think I should do about it?" I said, I don't really know. You know? He said, "Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do about it." See, daddy always knows what he's going to do. Daddy, you always know what you're going to do. He said, "That truck out there in the yard, you can park it. You ride the school bus to school for another 6 weeks." Man, I'm 16-year-old. I ain't riding no school, thinking to my mind. He said, "But I can tell you something else we'll do. You go back there and think about it, and I'll just give you 3 licks with a belt, and you can get back in the truck and go to school." I started walking down that hallway. We didn't have a very long hallway. We lived in a 12 by 60. I didn't have a long time to think about it. I turned around, and I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll take them 3 licks. I seen a man get this fighting mad fire jump in his eyes, and he said, "That's what you'll take, that's what you'll get." And when I had blood running down my back and out the back of my legs running over me, my sister and my mama got between me and my father. But you know what I've never done again, Brother Harold? I've never cussed a teacher. That next morning I got up and had old Green Thermos, Coleman Thermos, that he took to work in the woods. And when you look down the hallway, if it was sitting on the counter, daddy went to work. If it wasn't, he was still home. You know, there's things like that you learn. And I woke up, and it wasn't raining. I looked up through there, and there's that Coleman thing. Stanley. I said, "Good gracious, what's he doing here?" I walked back where he's at, and I said, "Man, what you doing here, daddy?" He said, "We're going to school this morning." I said, "We're going to school?" He said, "Yeah. The same period you cussed that teacher in, We're going back up there and you're going to stand before her in front of all your buddies and you're going to ask her to forgive you for what you've done. I didn't say no. I said, okay. And he said, if they ain't tears running down them eyes, when we get back home, they will be. I went to get my truck. He said, you don't need that truck. Come on, get in this 79 model. Ain't got a floorboard any spixes to back up through the floor. It's kind of daddy I had. Chas, that's kind of daddy you had. Man, that's kind of daddy you had. That's the kind of father I got in heaven. All that beating, all them stripes. He put it on his son Jesus. And he put it on him because of me and the wrong that I've done. And all he wants me to do is ask forgiveness. They don't have to take that in my life. We went before that school and before that teacher, and he walked up there and he said, ma'am, he's going to apologize to everything he done yesterday. And there's not going to be no problem, I promise you, son. I stood up there like a baby. I could call people, you'd know them. They're sitting back there, they ain't said a word neither. They're blown away too. And I asked that teacher to forgive me and all my siblings in that class, to forgive all my friends in that class to forgive me for what I'd said. He said, preacher, what'd that do in your life? It's taught me that when I'm in the wrong, I need to make things right. The man on the cross said, indeed, I received the just reward for what we've done. But this man, talking about Jesus, he ain't done nothing wrong. But yet he's took the punishment of us all on the cross of Calvary. I'm talking to somebody this morning. That you're wanting fire to be in your life. And you want to have a strong faith, but you've got forgiveness that you've not asked forgiveness for yet. You've got something in your heart that you say, I need to be forgiven for. It may be sin. It may be selfishness. It may be pride. It may be something you've harbored a long time. And God just brought it to your remembrance today. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll dig back where you can't dig. He'll bring up what you can't bring up. And he won't let you hide what you try to hide. Let me share what this man said, and we're going to close. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, nothing about his past, nothing about the wrong that he done. Jesus ain't brought up none of this. He brought up none of it. That man's told the Father everything. He's told Jesus everything. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross asked forgiveness, number one, because he realized he was guilty. Number two, he wanted to be remembered by God. And number three, he wanted to receive a home in glory. This morning I want to ask you a question. What do you need? We've covered the whole spectrum. Are you saved this morning and you need fire? Are you saved this morning and you just need a little bit more faith? Are you saved this morning and you still need forgiveness? God, forgive me. I've done things that's not right. Or maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You say, God, forgive me. I've got a burden on me that I need to be saved from. Said a little boy went to the store. See, the Father can give you a whole lot more than you can give yourself. He can open up the glory world. His hand's a lot bigger than my hand, a lot bigger than your hand. So a little boy went to the grocery store and had a big old thing of bubble gum that big. He said when he got there, the cashier asked the daddy, he said, can he have some? He said, yeah, sure, he can have some. Went to hand it to him. He said, son, get some. Son, get some. Get it. He said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He said, do you want me to get you some out and give it to you? He shook his head. Daddy reached off over in there and grabbed it and pulled it out. They got in the car and got going home, and he said, why wouldn't you reach your hand in there and get some of that bubble gum? He said, because Daddy, your hand's a lot bigger than mine. Listen, quit trying to do it on your own. You got your hand where it don't belong, into something it don't belong in. Get it out. Let the Father reach in there and put something in there that you need. Let Him put that fire in your life. Let Him put the faith on you like you've never seen. Let Him give you a forgiveness. When you walk out of this place, you can say, oh, glory to God, I've been set free. Father, bless this service. Be with our folks that's going to sing. Lord, right now, I thank You that I had a heavenly Father. I have a heavenly Father that disciplines me, that directs me in the right path, and that corrects my life. Lord, I don't mind telling my story when I've been set free from it. But Father, the things I've not been set free from, I used to not tell. There's somebody in here this morning right now that needs to be set free. I'm talking to somebody right now, Father, that's born again, that has lost that fire, that joy of their salvation. They need a fire lit back under them. And Father, it can only be lit by the Holy Ghost this morning. Father, I'm talking to somebody this morning that keeps putting that faith issue into play. Oh, if I had the faith of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And Father, you said it don't take much faith. It takes just a little old mustard seed. Because the name of Jesus is big enough. And Father, for that one I'm talking to right now that needs forgiveness and they can't even forgive their own self, I ask you this morning that if they call on you, that you would forgive them. Father, your word can't lie. You said if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just wonder how long it's been since some of us has called on our Heavenly Father. Bless this service today. Have your will. Have your way. We ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it.